Hi, this is Jerry Huffman from UCLA Emergency Medicine. I'm not going to repeat the many comments others have already made about the fairly large and substantial methodologic threats to the validity of this study. They are indeed major and multiple, but others have already talked about them, so I'm not going to go back over them. Ken asked me instead to step back and give sort of the what's been called the 30,000 feet view. It's not about sepsis in particular, but more about studies like this and how we should react when somebody tells us that they've discovered the latest, greatest thing since sliced bread. I often joke that you could win a lot of money simply by betting no whenever anybody makes a claim in a medical journal. That's a little, I don't mean to be cynical, but it is empirically true that you'd be right more often than wrong if you just did that. But I'm not really suggesting you make bets or that you don't believe anything, but rather that you maintain some level of skepticism until there's really good reason to think otherwise. What I want to highlight, though, are some principles that this type of study brings out. And again, this is not about sepsis, but it's about studies and how we respond to them. The first is always realize that there's an enormous difference between association and causation. It's really hard to prove that A causes B, and exceptionally difficult in the absence of a randomized controlled trial. I'm sure others have already talked about this, and the quick and dirty is that at the best, this should be considered hypothesis generating rather than proving that the treatments caused a better outcome. Second, beware of small numbers. Now, I've also talked many times in the past about the tyranny of large numbers and how we can be fooled by large numbers. But that's an entirely different issue. Small numbers, when you look at small numbers, you often will see things that seem very dramatic. And once you look a little further and you gather some larger numbers, that all changes. So be cautious about that. Beware of believing a single study or even a few studies, particularly when they're small and particularly when they have methodologic threats to their validity. And finally, maybe the most important with regard to this, remember the old saying, if it's too good to be true, it probably isn't true. Things that are so remarkable that they are astonishing probably would have been noticed a long time ago if it was really true. Now, that's not to say that it's impossible. There are some really big things that we miss, and then, you know, we have blinders on, and then somebody comes along, and we see something that should have been obvious all along. But in general, when something seems magnificent and you had no idea about it, I would be extraordinarily cautious. So time will tell. I'm not saying this is impossible, but I would, again, emphasize that there are a lot of problems with this study, that it by no means does it prove anything in terms of causation, and that it doesn't exactly pass my own sniff test. And in general, I think, forgetting the details of this study, remember that it's usually a good idea to be cautious before jumping to conclusions about something that really sounds fabulous, because it just might not be. And by the way, even if it's not fabulous, it could be good. But I'm saying something more than that. Something that looks fabulous sometimes turns out not only not to be fabulous, but not to be good, and in fact, sometimes to be harmful. So I don't think we know everything we're going to know about this, but that's my take on it. And for now, I myself will maintain my own position of skepticism.